Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Bless God. Glory. Good to see you all. Of course, at my age, it's just good to be seen, too. I want you to know that. All right. Turn with me, if you would, back to the book of Matthew, as Brother Will read earlier. Matthew chapter 14. And I want to talk to you on a subject this morning that affects every one of us. But before I do, I want to thank Pastor for allowing me to preach this morning, inviting me to preach. I appreciate that so much. And I trust that he is having a restful time on his vacation. And you need to be praying for him. People don't realize what it's like being a preacher. It's a 24/7 job. You don't start at 9 and end up at 5 when you're a pastor, okay? Just doesn't happen. So pray for our pastor that he gets rejuvenated, and his dear wife does as well. And then a number of you have been asking me, and I just want to clarify something about Port Norris Baptist Church. I met with the deacons back on the second Sunday of June and told them that I would be winding down my ministry there because of a number of factors, because of the distance, because of my age and this sort of thing. My wife and I, we have been there now 12 years, serving as the interim or pulpit supply, one or the other. Wonderful, wonderful people. What a precious church. We've enjoyed every minute of it and thank the Lord for it. But it was time to walk away. And I wanted to walk away on my schedule, not on anybody else's schedule. So just to let you know, last Sunday was my final Sunday at Port Norris. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience for my wife and I. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Okay, turn with me, if you would, as I said, to Matthew chapter 14, please. And this subject this morning, every one of us can relate to. I'm going to be talking to you about this subject of how to successfully handle the storms of life. How to successfully handle the storms of life. And we can see that in this passage here. So, Father, bless now, I pray, this thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. When we discuss the storms of life, you know what that means. That means troubles are coming. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be difficult times ahead. Those time factors affect every one of us. Doesn't make any difference if you're saved or you're lost. Doesn't make any difference if you're good or you're bad. Doesn't make any difference if you're old or young. It doesn't make any difference if you're rich or poor. It doesn't make any difference if you're well-educated or limited education. Every one of us face storms in life as we go through life. And we need to learn how to handle the storms. Because if we don't learn how to handle the storms of life, what we're going to find ourselves is we're going to be overwhelmed. And we'll drop out. We'll drop out of wherever we are in life and become a recluse. So we need to learn how to handle them. Now, when God sends us a storm, and it seems to me as if Christians end up having more storms than other people, but when God sends us a storm, it's not meant to destroy us. God allows storms to come into our life for purposes that he may be the only one that really knows, but he knows the storms. But the storms are to strengthen us that are sent from him. The storms are there to encourage and to increase our faith. Not to destroy us as a Christian, not to have us drop out of church. Boy, have I seen that over the years. People get hurt or discouraged. By the way, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say a lot this morning, but I'm going to say something. I've seen people drop out of church and get hurt at church. And people do get hurt at church. Because you want to know something? All of us, including preacher, are nothing but sinners saved by grace. Amen. Period. That's it. But what we don't do, and I'm just going to throw this out to you so you can think about it. People get hurt at church, they drop out. Brother Tyler, you know it, you've seen it, I've seen it. They get hurt at work, they never quit. You know what I'm saying is the truth. You got hurt on Friday, you don't walk in on Monday and say, I'm quitting, you guys hurt me, I'm quitting. We handle it differently. Remember with me, Christ, when he was trying to test the faith of his disciples, there in Luke chapter 5, we won't turn there, but Luke chapter 5, where there's a couple of boats of fishermen and they come in and they're cleaning their nets. And the Lord gets into Peter's boat there and he says, cast out a little ways. And he preaches to the crowds there. And then he says to Peter, he says, now, Peter, cast your nets out. Let's move out a little ways and cast your nets out. What's Peter say? Peter says, Lord, we've toiled all night long and we have caught nothing. But at thy word, I'll let down the net. It's not what Christ said to him. Christ said to him, cast out your nets. And he said, I'll let down the net. And you know what happened? Because he didn't obey Christ, the net began to break. It had so many fish in it. He'd been better off listening to Christ than doing the Christ way. Lesson number one for the disciples. Remember in Matthew chapter 8, and again, we'll not turn there because of time, but Matthew chapter 8, it's a stormy night. They're out on the water there, and the waves are coming over the boat. Now, let me tell you, if I had been in that boat, I would not have been asleep. On a stormy night like that, my head would have been over the side, and I'm not going to tell you what would have been happening. But it wouldn't have been pretty, okay? The Lord's sound asleep. They wake him up. Lord, don't you care that we perish? Oh, so little faith. Then, remember with me the here in Matthew chapter 14, Christ is not in the ship, but he knows exactly what's going on. And we'll see that in just a moment here. You might say, well, life isn't smooth sailing. And it's not. Life is not smooth sailing. There will always be a storm to arise. And let me encourage you this morning. You're either coming out of a storm or you're going into one. So let me be an encouragement. That wasn't supposed to be serious. That was a joke. All right. But it's true. We're either coming out of a storm or we're going into one. Let's see some things here this morning. First of all, let's see number one, Matthew chapter 14, about the storm. Christ brought me here. Christ brought me here. Under that heading, if you're writing that down, with the note about Christ bringing you here, our storms are his appointments. Our storms are his appointments. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. You know what that word constrained means? It means compelled. Christ told, get into the ship. Get into the ship. Now, did Christ know that a storm was coming up? Absolutely. And he tells his disciples to get into the ship? Yeah, get into the ship. Now, storms are not always because we're out of God's will or an indication that we're out of God's will or that we have sin in our lives. But they can be. I said not always, but they can be. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6, it says this, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, let me remind you of something about these disciples. They were doing exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said for them to do. Get into the boat, launch out. being absolutely obedient to Christ. And yet they find themselves in the middle of the storm. You know, sometimes you and I fail to realize that you can be absolutely in the center of God's will, and there can be storms. There can be storms. For example, if you would turn to Genesis chapter 39 with me. Look at Genesis chapter 39. You'll see a portion of the life of Joseph here, Genesis 39. Something I want to point out to you. You remember Joseph, his loving and caring brethren. All right, you're with me now. All right, okay. His loving and caring brethren sold him into slavery. He ends up in the home of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife, let's just say, had immoral designs on him. Joseph is sold into slavery. He ends up in jail. Not because he has done anything, because he hasn't. He's in the center of God's will. In jail, preacher? Yeah. That was God's will for him. Look with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 39. No, let's begin at verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And then notice that next verse. And the Lord was with Joseph. And then notice verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hands. The Lord was with Joseph. It was apparent to an unsaved, ungodly man. Look at verse 21 and following. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of God in the prison. And look at verse number 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. The Lord was with Joseph into the center of God's will. There was Joseph. Joseph was exactly where God wanted him to be, and yet he finds himself in prison. You think Joseph might have struggled a little bit there? I think he might have. But he didn't falter. He stayed true. He didn't quit. He kept going on for the Lord. Then, if you would, turn over to Daniel with me. Look at Daniel chapter 6. And in Daniel chapter 6, we have a man of God that is going to continue to serve the Lord. Now, you'll remember with me, if you would, that Darius has set up a decree that nobody could worship any god but him for 30 days, okay? And what did Daniel do? Well, first of all, Darius was upset when he found out it affected Daniel, because Daniel went home, kept his windows open, didn't blow out the candle, kept his windows open, and prayed towards Jerusalem, just like he always had. Even though Darius had said, you can't ask anyone of any favors, any gods, except for me. You know what I liked about Daniel? Daniel was a man of conviction. Amen. Daniel was going to do what was right no matter what. And he really didn't care about the cost. Look with me in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 23. Now the king worried all night long about Daniel. He loved Daniel. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. That's the den of lions. And you like cats? Okay. Cats are nothing but miniature lions. That's all they are. Cats are not the part of creation. They were part of the fall. Okay. Oh, well, what can I say? All right. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him in the lion's den. Why wasn't there any hurt on him? Look at the latter part of that verse. Because he believed in his God. Daniel had been faithful to the Lord. Even as an exile, he had been faithful to the Lord. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He kept on serving God and worshiping the Lord. He could have blown out the candle. He could have closed his windows and nobody would have seen him pray. But he wasn't going to do that. Daniel was going to serve God no matter what the cost. Daniel was exactly where God wanted him to be. In the lion's den, in the center of his will. Folks, you can be gone through the storm today. That doesn't mean there's sin in your life or disobedience in your life. That doesn't mean that at all. It could very well be an indication you're exactly where God wants you to be. Think with me. Turn back to Daniel chapter 3. Look at Daniel chapter 3. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here are men that were in the center of God's will. And they ended up in the fiery furnace. And you know, as I was reading that text, I thought it rather interesting. Because as these three men are being led up to this fiery furnace, the fellows that are leading them up die because of the heat. Where does that leave them? I've got a picture in my mind. I don't know if it's biblical, but I'm going to throw it out there. Maybe you have it in your mind. I think they looked around each other and saw these dead bodies all around them. Figure, well, there's only one more place for us to go. So the Bible says it, and they fell into the fiery furnace. I think they just walked up the plank and dropped in. I really do. And God preserved them. Why? Because they weren't going to compromise in their life. They were going to serve God no matter what the cost was. And if it meant death, that's what it means. Look at verse 17 and 18. I like this. Daniel 3:17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. That's true. And he did. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego determined to make any difference what the cost was. They were going to serve the Lord. Whatever the cost, they were going to serve the Lord. So Christ brought me here. Our storms are his appointments. Christ sees my circumstances. Our storms are his concerns. And number three, Christ sees my circumstances. Look at Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24 and 25. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. You know what I like about Christ? His eyes are never off of us. His eyes are never off of us. We won't turn there, but in Mark, the corollary portion of Scripture, in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it says, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Christ saw exactly what was going on in the boat. Christ put me in this circumstance, and they are his concerns. My storms are his concerns. Now, let me tell you something about storms. Storms will not stop the will of God for your life, or the plan of God, or the purpose of God. They might only delay it for a period of time. You know, Christ instructed them to go to the other side. Christ full well expected these disciples to get to the other side. Even though he knew that there was a storm coming. Amen. The storm is only a delay. Let me tell you sometimes what happens in the storm. And this is the sad part about a storm. Sometimes when we're in the midst of the storm, we take our eyes off Christ. He never takes his eyes off us. But there are times when we take our eyes off of him. And when we do that, let me tell you what happens. When we take our eyes off the Lord in the storm, and all of us face storms, young and old, rich, poor, educated, non-educated, whatever, when we take our eyes off him, we become discouraged. And when we become discouraged, we tend to give up. That's why it's so important. Listen, if you are doing what God wants you to do, and you're serving the Lord to the best of your ability, and the storm comes up, realize God hasn't allowed that storm to come into your life to destroy your faith, but rather to increase your faith, to deepen your walk with him. You see, if there were no storms, we wouldn't have to live by faith. And yet the scriptures tell us we need to live by faith. Faith in who? Him. Him. Not in the preacher. Not in an evangelist, not in the church, not even in myself. My faith must lie in him and him alone. Remember something. When the storm of life hits you, you'll write this down. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something. The storms of life. God brought me here. God sees my circumstances. God is praying for me. Look at verse 23 of chapter 14 here. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Underneath, Christ is praying for me, I would put down, our storms are his burdens. Our storms are his burdens. How wonderful to know that the Son of God, Almighty God, is interceding for me. In Hebrews 7:25, it says it this way. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him by come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So we need to realize, storms don't have to be a devastating experience. They can be a tremendous spiritual experience. Why? Because Christ brought me to the center of that storm. Christ sees my circumstances. Christ is praying for me. And Christ will speak to me. Look back in Matthew chapter 14. Christ will speak to me. Look at verse 25 through 26. Now, let me say this very quickly. Christ is not going to speak to you audibly. First of all, you and I couldn't handle the voice of God. When anybody ever says, well, I heard the voice of God, my immediate reaction is, and what did it sound like? How does Christ speak to us? We speak to him in prayer. He speaks to us through this book. Amen. Notice what it says in Matthew 14:25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I guess they were. If you're out fishing and you see somebody walking on the water coming towards you, are you going to say, oh, that must be the Lord Jesus? No, you're not. You're going to say, what in the world is that? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You see, Christ will speak to me because our storms are his opportunity. Our storms are his opportunity. Jesus came to them in the middle of the storm. Howling winds, rising waves, a boat that's rocking back and forth. What a precious thought. Jesus will speak to me. How's that? Well, first of all, he knows where I am. Second of all, he knows what I'm going through. Third of all, he knows what I need. In fact, there's not anything about me Jesus doesn't know. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows the ugly. He knows it all. Now, notice what it says there. And he came to them in the fourth watch of the night. You know what time of day that is? That's 4 a.m. That's the darkest time of the night, the darkest hour. The Bible says the following in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. You needn't turn there. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Folks, Jesus is there, and he's here now. And you may be going through a storm right now. In fact, I know some of you are. My wife and I, we've seen it for the past few years we've been here. We've seen the trials and difficulties that many of you folks have gone through. They're storms. But he's still on the throne. He hasn't abdicated. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Turn over to Isaiah, please. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah, we'll look at verse number 40, or chapter number 40, Isaiah 40. Notice what it says in verse 29 and following. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30 of Isaiah 40. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now look at verse 31 with me, if you would, of that same chapter. But they that wait upon the Lord. Let me read that again. But they that wait upon the Lord. Let me say it to you this way. Those that don't quit. Those that don't throw up their hands and walk away. But just keep on serving the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. No matter what the heartaches are. No matter what the difficulties are. You keep your eyes steadfast on him and keep serving the Lord Jesus. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Christ, he brought me here. He sees my circumstances. He's praying for me. He will speak to me. Number 5, Christ will help me grow. The storm will help me grow and to mature. You see, our storms are his classrooms. Our storms are His classrooms. Jesus is in control of our storms. Look back in Matthew chapter 14. Look there with me if you would. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 28. Notice what it says. Matthew 14, 28. Something I want to point out here. Now they're in the storm. I mean, that boat is rocking. I mean, it, and these were experienced fishermen. These were not novices. They're experienced fishermen. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Lord, if it's really you, allow me to walk on the water. And he said, that is Jesus, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Now I want to stop there for a minute, because I've heard a lot of preaching on this text over the years. I'm sure you have. And what do they always preach on when it comes to Peter? He takes his eyes off the Lord. I don't want to go there, right? I'll go there eventually, but I'm not going there right now. I want to tell you something. He got out of that boat in the midst of the storm, and he walked on water. Now, once again, I'm going to tell you, if I was in that boat, I ain't getting out. All right? Peter walked on water. Why? Because Jesus said, come. And he came. I admire Peter for that. Now, he failed when he took his eyes off the Lord. Because notice with me, if you would, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Christ will help me to grow. Why? Because my storms are his classrooms. Let me tell you something about the storms. Jesus is in control of all the storms of your life. Amen. He's in control. He is in control of every situation, every circumstances. He can still the storm anytime he gets ready to. Amen. But he'll never still it one moment before he's ready. Because there's lessons that you and I must learn. That is how to trust him. Or he may not still the storm at all. What do you mean, preacher? He may not still the storm. Why? Why wouldn't he still the storm, the turmoil in my life? Turn to Isaiah 43 with me, if you would. Look at Isaiah 43. Look at verse number 2. Isaiah 43 and verse number 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You see, he can calm the storm. He can stop the storm. But he may choose not to. Why? For our good and his glory. Amen. He wants our faith to grow and to develop, and he will help me grow in his classroom. So, Christ brought me to this storm. Christ sees my circumstances. Christ is praying for me. Christ will speak to me. Christ will help me grow. Turn to 2 Corinthians with me, if you would. Look at 2 Corinthians. Probably outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest Christian in the church age, to me, was the Apostle Paul. I mean, God used Paul like he used nobody else. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know what? Paul was going through a storm. He was having great difficulty. Now, we don't know necessarily what the difficulty is. We don't know. Some theologians that I've read have said they felt it was like epilepsy. Some others that I've read think he was going blind. That's personally what I think. And I'm going to tell you why. Because in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11, stay here in 2 Corinthians, but in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, he says to the Galatian church, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." And you know Galatians is not a large book. It's only 6 small chapters. I think he's talking about the size of the letters. I don't think he's talking about the length of the letter. So personally, I think it was blindness. I don't know. I have no idea, and neither does anybody else. Only God knows what the physical problem was. But notice how Paul handled this storm. 2 Corinthians 12:8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." This storm in my life, 3 times I pleaded with God, "that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul, you're right where I want you to be. You're in the middle of the storm. That's where I want you, because I will get the greatest glory. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Look at verse number 10. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And you know what? He was in the storm. The greatest storm that you and I probably face in our lifetime is the storm of death. Psalm 23, verse 4 says it this way: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Christ will help me grow during the storm. He brought me into the storm. He sees my circumstances in the storm. He's praying for me while I'm in the storm. He speaks to me while I'm in the storm. He helps me grow while I'm in the storm. And finally, Christ will see me through the storms. Our storms are for His glory. Our storms are for His glory. Look back in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. Matthew 14, verse 31. Notice what it says there. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him." That's Peter, because he cried out, "Lord, save me." "And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why'd you doubt him? I know the storms can be fearful. They can be frightening. They can be discouraging. But don't doubt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Our storms are for His glory. Final verse. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, please. Notice what the Word of God has to say there. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now that's a double negative. I will never, never leave thee. Folks, you couldn't be in any better hands than in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent a storm. He placed you in the storm. And he'll bring you through the storm. Either by stopping it or walking beside you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what the difficulties, no matter what the heartaches, no matter what the burdens, we're not quitting. We're serving God. Why? Because he's never going to leave me. He's my Savior. And he can handle the storm. Let's pray.
I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached. And just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you. Maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.